Shot.
Let's go.
More than welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 462 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Nick, it's almost Christmas.
It is almost Christmas. This is essentially our Christmas episode, boys. We are recording this on Christmas Eve Eve.
True.
So pretty exciting. On this week's show, we've got a couple new patrons, some LeagueCast news, including a surprise plays video that came out. We don't have any samurizing news. We don't have any stories. We've got a pretty fun guaranteed guffaw, a little Matrix-esque melee moment. Gonna be pretty fun. We'll briefly discuss All-Stars in the competitive league section. We've got some roundtable answers and a few emails to round it out. Aiden, why don't you bring us into the show with your week?
This week didn't play too much actual league. Played a lot of TFT. I've been playing a lot of TFT with Trevor and Kennedy. Having fun, like, just goofing around playing that for the most part. Kind of getting ready for the holidays. Finished all my shopping, finished all my wrapping and stuff. Kind of finishing up with work and stuff. But nothing too crazy. This week's been like a little bit slower than usual, I think. Just been chilling. Watching Attack on Titan every week with Trevor and Kennedy, and fuck, that show is good. It's really, really good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really, really good this season.
I feel like my issue with that show is always the second half of the first season. I feel like the moment they leave the wall for the first time, it completely lost my interest.
Yeah, the second season is like super slow as well.
But
season three is fucking crazy good though. Like it's like season two is like more world building and like kind of slow, but season three is like insane of that show. And then the end of season three like makes you just crave more. And then the season's been sick so far.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Sounds like a weeb kind of show to me.
It's really good. I'm definitely glad I didn't watch it. I didn't start watching it when it first came out because like season one aired in 2012 or 2013 or something like that, and then season two didn't start until 2017. Mm-hmm. But like watching it all like kind of back to back to get ready for the season was like awesome. So I'm really enjoying that. Yeah, nice. So I'm just like weaving out watching some anime. I talked about it in our anime channel, our Discord, but I caught up on Boruto and My Hero Academia, the manga for both them. And both those shows, mangas, like fucking are sick right now.
Oh, yeah. So I heard you were saying Boruto is kind of average.
Yeah, it's very average for the most part. I think like some of like the really good parts of Boruto like are as good as like the pretty good parts of Naruto, I think.
Gotcha.
The fucking cliffhanger of this fucking month's manga though is insane.
Ooh,
so good.
Very nice.
I'll tell you after, Nick, because I know you don't give a shit. So
no, I don't.
Anyways, that's my week. What about you, Colton?
Let me think. So my week have been playing pretty much no league other than a couple games in community night last night. Played a game of Lethality Sion mid and a game of On Hit Zillion top.
I love Sion mid.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's good, but it's hella fun.
Well, I don't think Lethality Sion mid is good. I think actual Sion mid is.
Mm-hmm.
But I was against a Taric Yi funnel in our in-house.
Ooh.
And then in the second in-house, I was against a Grasp Camille top as on Hit Zillion. So neither of those games was I able to really carry. I did fine, but it was just like, man, I'm not going to have fun these games, am I?
No.
And even after invading the Yi on his second camp at Raptors, getting a double kill on him and Taric and walking away, still really couldn't do that much with Lethality Sion.
Oh,
cool. I'll have to like go every week, but I also played like an in-house with some people from like the Lala community, right? And me and my buddy Immoral, we decided to go top lane against each other, but neither of us wanted to like get like trashed by the other one because we were kind of like jokingly like shit talking each other right before. So we ended up playing Malphite versus Sion. it was a lot of fun for being like I was bored. Well, dude, we like, as soon as like I locked in Malphite and he locked in Sion, we just messaged each other and we're like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, we're supposed to be having fun. We're just playing tanks top. But it actually was like really fun because we solo killed each other like three times each sort of thing in the lane.
Yeah, that goes just back and forth, back and forth.
But it was like, what the fuck? We're just not having fun because neither of us wanted to lose to each other.
Yeah. But other than that, I've been playing a good amount of TFT. I've been trying to mostly run sharpshooters and Dusk, even though the meta is not that right now, and it's legendary nonsense that I hate. But I think in the next week or two, they're doing the like mid-set big patch where they're dropping a lot of units, adding a lot of units, and changing things up. So hopefully that'll be more fun for me. Aside from that, my computer had some blue screen issues, so I took it apart and put it back together, and it's been stable since. So we're just gonna
that's wild.
Hope that that holds out. I think it was probably just like a loose cable to the motherboard. For something. Either that or like the RAM maybe wasn't seated properly, but I'm also now looking much more seriously into upgrades that I've been putting off for a long time. And like, maybe I should actually get like a new motherboard and processor and be able to stream and have it not be laggy.
At least you'll be able to find both of those.
Oh yeah, because those are very available right now.
Are they not? I have no clue.
I mean,
know graphics cards aren't.
Yeah, graphics cards are even worse, and like motherboards and processors are for the most part available, but graphics cards are even more so, like out of stock.
Yeah, I think I've been looking for a 3080 for a while, and I know Aiden has been too, even more than I have, and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Anything else, Colton?
Yeah, I went up to Chicago to visit my girlfriend this weekend, so that was a
Pog.
Fun time. We baked some cookies, we watched through The Mandalorian, the first season of The Mandalorian, and yeah, it was a good time.
Nice.
The airport was deserted.
That's good.
Yes, very good.
Good. Nice.
Yeah, Nick, what have you been up to?
Not a whole lot. I've played a little bit of Cyberpunk since last week. I'm really enjoying it. There are like a bug. I ran into my first like big bug today, which was pretty frustrating. But otherwise, like I'm really enjoying it. I think the city itself is like super fucking cool, and there's like so much to do in the game. But I also think it's a game that like 6 months from now is going to be like crazy good. So definitely recommend like waiting if you are on the fence about it. Other than that, played some Nexus Blitz. Nothing too crazy. I think that's it for my week, really. Oh, I think I beat Breath of the Wild. Was that last week or was that this week?
I don't think you talked about it last week, but I think you talked about it in the Discord, maybe.
It was so my overall thoughts is like the game is very good, definitely. Mm-hmm. I got tired of shrines after a while, after a specific point in the game, in which you need to reach to get the Master Sword. The Divine Beasts were crazy sick, easily my favorite part of the game. The puzzles were just like crazy cool and required a lot of, critical and creative thinking. Anything motion control related was awful and I hated it, but I learned that it's because it was attached to the console itself and then I should disconnect them.
Yeah. Do you have a handheld Switch or do you have like the, like one that you can detach the Joy-Con?
So I have both. I was playing it on the regular Switch where I could detach them, but I didn't realize that I should have.
Yeah.
The Ganon boss fight was pretty lackluster, all things considered. The very last phase was cool, but it didn't really require anything. I felt like I was never in danger.
Yeah, it's definitely the cooler part of it, for sure.
Yeah, but even then, it was kind of lame. I also felt like in the phase before that, they give you no indication that you can reflect the laser. And maybe that was taught to me somewhere that I forgot about, but it took me so long to figure it out.
Taught is that you can reflect all the Guardian lasers throughout the game. Like the
gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So that took me a while. Otherwise, my largest like praise and also criticism for the game is that it is extremely frustrating once you are familiar with the map to not be told where anything is. There's no indication like here, go here for the quest. You have mm-hmm. to kind of, you're given a location, you have to explore there, which is cool when you're like, when you're learning the map and figuring out where everything is and that sort of thing. But it would also be nice to be told, like, this is where it is, so you're not, I don't know, scrounging an area. But it's something that, like, I really like about the game, but I also really don't like at certain points. It was good. It was good. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm super excited that they're making a sequel in the same world. Let's put it that way.
I am too. So I also picked up Age of Calamity, which is the prequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
It is a Dynasty Warriors-esque. Mm-hmm. I don't know what sort of genre that is, but it's that game. Yeah. It's been pretty cool so far. It sort of establishes on a lot of the characters who you you meet in Breath of the Wild, but from 100 mm-hmm. years ago, which is super cool. I haven't gotten too far into that game yet, though. So I think that's my week.
Cool.
So let's get into the show. First up, shout out to Eric, Lucas, Pike's support, and Evan for becoming our newest patrons. Evan with the $100 patronage.
Did he name a section yet?
He decided he didn't want to. He's just like, we were playing. He actually, before our 1v1, well, not our 1v1, our custom game we played against each other, he's like, yeah, I said something to my stream. If you win, you're going to get something. And then he's like, he bet like $100 or something that like, that he would beat me in lane. And we kind of went even in lane, but they won the game. Then he's like, okay, flip a coin. And then I flipped the coin. He pledged $100.
That's crazy. 50-50 to $100.
Yeah.
Awesome. Put it all on black, baby.
No, he's awesome. He's a really awesome guy, though. He said he's been like wanting to like listen to a bunch of our Fixus Champions series, so like he's gonna check that out. And then he got a little bit of quiche, so he decided to like support us.
And the crazy thing is that all of that amazing content doesn't cost $100. No, it's available for as little as $1.
It is. It is worth $100.
It really is.
You could have it for $1.
Yeah, you could. Or, maybe two.
Thank you to Eric, Lucas, Evan, and Pike's support for your financial support. We appreciate that a bunch. Into the League Cast news, we had a plays video go up at 3 a.m. this morning.
Instead of 3 p.m. Because I uploaded it the first time. I was going to upload it one time, and then it was like fucking our internet, and then like Kennedy did not have internet for like half an hour or whatever while I uploaded. So I like canceled the upload and then went to upload it later, and I guess I like switched the time from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. when I did it the second time. So I went up at 3 a.m., so it's probably going to get less views than normal. But hey, I was like, it's a shorter one. I like it. I have Christmas music. I found a fucking Future Funk Christmas song. So that's the song
in it.
So I don't know if you guys want to listen to it. It's like a 4 minute or maybe like 3 minute, plays video. It's pretty short, but I think you guys like it. So it's up on our YouTube channel, Leaguecast Podcast. It's also in our Discord in a bunch of our channels. So check it out, or submit your plays and your plays will be in next month's
Poggers. We don't have any Samurai Rising news. It's been kind of quiet. Riot is taking their, I believe, 2 week break this week. Mm-hmm. So nothing out of the ordinary there. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review on any of the applicable platforms and we'll read it on the show and be very appreciative. We have a guaranteed guffaw. Aiden is leading us in this one.
I'm gonna read them all out before I like post them so you guys can go through them. So okay. A couple months ago I talked about there was a thing going around in the Melee community, the Smash Melee community, where there was a list of 8 pills that you could take one of, and it would make you better at the game in some way. It's like a bunch of different things. And I said, hey, this would be really cool if someone made one for League of Legends. And then months went by, nothing happened. I didn't see anyone post anything on Twitter or anything about this either. Like, so I think this is pretty original that I did it. So I decided to make one. So there's 8 pills, and you're choosing which one you would take to make you a better player. And I've kind of gone over this with a couple people, and I've gotten kind of different responses from everyone. There's like yellow, green, blue, orange, red, pink, gray, and black. And I've had people saying that they would take yellow, green, blue, orange, pink, gray, and black. I just haven't heard anyone say red yet, I think. Which I think red is like actually one of the better ones, but I think it like applies more to pro players. So I'm going to go through these. It's going to end up being a roundtable this week. It's going to be something we're discuss on our Discord this week. I think it's a pretty cool thing that I put some work into, and I hope that everyone enjoys it. So
could you post it so we could read it while you are
doing it? Yeah, I'll do that.
I'll forget the options.
It's in the doc.
Yeah. He took it away before.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So yellow pill. Your reaction time speeds up by 35 ms.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Green pill. You become the best in the world at your character, but your character is always below 45% win rate. Blue pill. When uncontested, you hit perfect CS every game on every champion. Orange pill. You always play at your physical peak. Your hands do not get sore. You are unaffected by sleep loss. Internet, computer, and peripherals always work. Red pill. You practice three times as efficiently as normal and struggle less when switching roles and champions between games. Pink pill. You can go into an avatar state where every retired pro player can coach you from within your own head. Gray pill. You always solo kill your lane opponent at least once at some point during the laning phase. And black pill, you always get lucky in queue for ranked. You will never have trolls on your team, the enemy team will never have smurfs, and you will always have the statistically better team.
Oh, okay. These are crazy.
Now, I have a question about the pink pill.
Yeah.
This is, they can coach you, and is there like a, I can always have this running, or is it only have, like, I can do it for like a minute a day or something?
You can always have it. They're always like in your head. They can always like coach you. There are like retired pros, though.
Okay.
Hmm.
Well, I'm very much between just two of these.
I am also between just two, and it's interesting because I don't think that we will have the same two.
I'm also between just two.
All right, so Aiden, as the one who has the most time in these, do you want to tell us about which two you're between?
Yeah. So my first one is green pill. I think as a player who's not good at the game relatively to like pro players, for example, if I think you're a pro player, I think you choose red pill every single time without a doubt, just because you already practice 8 hours a day. So it means you're practicing the equivalent of 24 hours a day when you do it, sort of thing. So I just think like there's no way you don't choose red pill if you're like a pro player. But for me as like a casual player, I would choose green pill because I would be completely content playing a character that I enjoy, even if they're dog shit, if it meant I was the best in the world at them. Right. I'd probably be a D1, D2, maybe master tier player playing like a dog shit character. And I probably couldn't get better than that. But I would be insane at the character. The other one I would choose is gray pill. I think gray pill is probably one of the worst on the list. It's the one where you always solo kill your opponent at one point during a laning phase. That being said, I think my enjoyment of the game would skyrocket. If I could solo kill my lane at least once every game without like anything, like no matter what I play, like I just feel like you'd enjoy the game more. It would probably make me a worse player than if I chose any other pill. I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I definitely think the gray pill is the weakest here. Alongside the blue pill, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the blue pill could absolutely be learned, and then which is the uncontested perfect CS. And then gray pill, the solo kill, I think isn't influential enough. If my goal during this is to be the best player I can be, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I don't think one solo kill really is going to make the difference.
Oh, for sure.
At my current skill level, at least. That being said, I'm kind of between red and black. I think red is really nice because I do like to switch roles in champions more often than I'm sure most players do.
Mm-hmm.
So being better at that is really nice. And then black pill, which I feel like is kind of just nice to have. Mm-hmm. Not having,
I call that
any
the
trolls.
Nick pill.
Yeah, that's sort of like, It is just, I feel like my enjoyment of the game would be tremendously higher if I didn't have to deal with my teammates single-handedly losing the game, like choosing to lose the game, I suppose, or getting smurfed on, which happened what seemingly was every single game that I played this season.
Dude, imagine every single game you play, Nick, in ranked, you go to OP.GG and your team is just like favored. You have like higher win rate players in every single role. They're like more on like their mains than the enemy team. It's like, oh, it just would make your mental so much better.
It would, and I feel like statistically, if I played enough games, I could be like the highest elo my mental could handle, right? Statistically, if I get the luckier side with enough games, I should get to whatever rank I want to be.
Yeah.
All right.
Capping at like professional play.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. I'm between pink and red, personally.
Okay, I definitely think red is the Colton pill.
So that's really good for me. I just, with like the goal of becoming the best player I could be, Like, I think it's definitely between those two in that, right, practicing three times as efficiently as normal is huge to just let you improve much faster. The argument I would make, though, is, like, pink pill is that, you know, a conversation with Faker for an hour would probably increase my understanding of the game more than 10 hours of practice.
But Faker would have to retire before
yes,
it happens.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, like, there's so many.
You could
other
talk to Bjergsen currently, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, I could talk to Bjergsen and learn so much more about mid lane than I could in playing, you know, 100 games of solo queue mid.
But Colton, the question is, do you speak Korean?
True.
Didn't think about that.
I will learn. They will teach me.
When Kennedy and I were going over it, she chose like pink pill, mostly because like it's something where you could just have a pro player like tell you what to build or how to play like certain lanes and stuff like that, like all the time. Like you never have to worry about like build runes, masteries, even like how to like play matchups and stuff.
Yeah, I feel like with enough experience though, the build, the like in, I think matchups would be tremendously helpful all the time, but like builds and masteries aren't, I think, that hard to pick up and learn.
Nah, but yeah. You could always be bouncing ideas, which I think would be really
that's,
good.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think this is a valuable pill, obviously.
I'm going pink pill. I'm taking the pink pill, Aiden. Put me in.
I'm taking the black pill, I think.
I would choose green, I think, at the end of the day.
Green is a very strong pill too, yeah.
I think green's just character, like...
What if my character has like, a 70% ban rate?
Well, the idea is like, so like I originally had it worded so it would be like any character you play is just like that, but like I think I had to change it because like the way it originally sounded like was like, let me look at the win rates right now. Where are the win rates? Lowest win rates in the game. I would only currently be able to play Nidalee, Lee Sin, Qiyana, but no, I just meant it as in like if I wanted to play Tahm Kench, like Tahm Kench was my main, Tahm Kench would be a sub 45% win rate character, but I would be the best in the world at him, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like just your enjoyment, like there's people who play just trash, but they're just like diamond two, you know what I mean? Just because they're the yeah. best in the world at it. And I feel like that would be an absolutely fine place to be.
Hmm. I mean, I think they're all pretty strong.
Yeah. What do you think about like the other ones? If we wanted to go through them really quick, like yellow. So it's just a reaction time being sped up by like 35 MS, which is like pretty yeah. huge. Like 35 MS is like massive, actually, especially at like the professional level. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that make you a better like player right away? How many of us how many of us would climb to challenger with 35 less MS?
I don't think any of us could climb to challenger going to zero MS right now.
Yeah,
like having zero like delay and
where there is an argument to be made that that is possible with some of these other pills.
Yeah, for sure. We talked about green pill a fair bit. If you guys are going to do green pill, what character would you guys choose first of all? Like to be
something,
like the best in the
something
world.
Something with a really high like skill expression, sort of like a Katarina, Cassiopeia, Yasuo, Yone, Samira, Lucian.
You do
like
fuck
that.
Your mental though by picking green pill because you know that the character is always going to be bad, right? They're not going to ever buff it. They're not going to make it not shit. It's always going to be 45% or less away.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Maybe with this pill, your best bet is to try to find like a cheese build. So you're the best of that cheese build, and outside of this cheese build that you've found, that character's bad. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if I were to pick a character for green pill, I think it probably would be like Fiora or Aurelia.
Yeah, something like that.
Even though they'd be bad, like I could still do like super fun montage plays.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think blue pill is a skill you can learn, and
yeah.
like it would get you up to probably like diamond. I think like slap that pill into any player, they'll probably get a diamond fairly quick. Just getting
yeah.
perfect CS every time, but it's just like if I'd you give that to a diamond two player, they're probably not going to go master.
Yeah, I had to put it in uncontested though, because like obviously if it's just like you hit perfect CS no matter what, then it's probably actually just like bonkers OP. Like no matter what, you just hit. Like
somehow he's hitting perfect CS in the bot lane while ganking top.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I think uncontested like is a fair way to do it. It's still like really, really good, especially if like you're a player who doesn't play like maybe like a carry role. Like immediately taking that, you'd become like you'd be able to play like other lanes, mm-hmm. I think, and you'd be sick out of them.
But I do think it's a learnable skill where some of these just aren't.
Yeah. I do think orange pill is like week for League of Legends compared to like Melee. The Melee version of it makes a lot more sense because it's like you're playing a game with like a shitty controller, you know what I mean? Like, so people like actually just get like fucking like messed up wrists, and like, yes, you can get that in League of Legends. We had pro players retire because of like arm and wrist injuries and stuff, but I feel like, think this isn't very important to like a lot of casual players by any means, like the physical endurance and stuff like that. Red is insane. Practicing three times as efficiently for any pro player. I think that's like what every pro player should just choose. I don't think you should choose anything else if you're a pro player already.
Yeah.
We went over pink. Pink like has huge upsides. Gray, I think, is the most fun one. You always solo kill your lane. Just it's kind of just I think you just enjoy that.
You should make crazy bets of it. Like you're a silver player and you're like, no. Watch this. I'm gonna solo kill Faker at least once.
Yeah, get over here, Faker.
Just like you could make that bet though. Like you could be a streamer and it's just like any streamer challenge me, I'll solo kill you at least once in lane.
I do like the monkey's paw aspect of it. Like, yeah, they solo kill you 12 times, but you solo kill them once. Black, I think Black is just like super like the mental pill. Like always getting lucky is like so fucking nice for ranked. Like
that one, how is not just, having trolls. You have a better experience in ranked.
Yeah. How much fun would you have if you didn't have to worry about Smurfs? You didn't have to worry about like trolls, nothing like that. God, it would be so nice.
That was the hardest pill to like translate from the Melee one. The Melee one was about going to tournaments and always getting the luckiest bracket seed.
Oh yeah.
So like you'd go up against like favorable matchups for as long as possible, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. But anyways. I think this is a good one.
Yeah. Cool.
Awesome.
That's also our roundtable for this week, though, guys. So if you guys want to tell us what pill you would choose to become better at League of Legends or to improve your overall enjoyment, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, on our Twitter, come into our Discord, post in our roundtable section. It's posted all on our social medias. Be sure to share it. I think it's actually something that's like super shareable and like fun compared to like usual roundtable answers. So if you guys want to share it on Twitter and stuff, then go right ahead. I think it'll be fun.
Hell yeah.
We'll read them next week. Cool.
All right. Let's jump into competitive league, I guess. We'll talk about that. You guys been watching any All-Stars? Because it's happening this week.
I didn't know it was happening.
Yeah, I feel like Riot's not done a great job of advertising it or even just like letting it be known that it's happening. But it is happening. They've played some 1v1s. They've played a couple of fun games. I know Faker played a Ivern Rengar bot lane game.
Yeah.
And he fucking terrorized them. It was so crazy good. That's in the Professor Akali thing is the only thing I know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I know Tactical played Lee Sin mid in a game.
Interesting.
Either way, it's like sounds like it's a fun event rather than like anything competitive wise. So hopefully people enjoy that. I know like it's a weird All-Stars is weird because you have the best or at least the most favorite players in the world. Like some people are like world champions because like obviously if you're a world champion, you probably get chosen because you're the most popular at that point playing. And then them playing fun goofy matches sometimes is a little bit sad to see when you'd rather than play like competitive stuff, but they're also on their break, so it's such a weird event. But I hope like people are enjoying it this year. I haven't really watched any of it though.
Yeah, I've not watched any aside from those two clips, I think. So I think that's it for competitive talk.
There's I'm like sure no we'll... other news. Like what we're not gonna hear any really roster announcements. Week. No, nothing. It's gonna be quiet. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Roundtable, we've already discussed our answers, but let's go through last week's.
Yeah, so question. Last week's the question was, what would your passive be in League of Legends? From Twitter, we got one from Bartek. He says, the power of the decline. The longer the champion is inactive, the bigger movement speed and cooldown reduction he temporarily gets after moving. It's like an amped old fiddle passive. Alex said, big brain, every time an enemy casts a spell near him, his ability power increases by one. His character shares a fun fact in all chat. That's really sick, actually. And then from our Facebook, Daniel says, if I was a league character, passive would be customer service. Each time Danny attacks an enemy champion, your death gold and bounty is reduced by 10 gold. Stacked high enough, Danny will overlap into stealing gold from enemy champions upon his death. I think that's so fucking funny.
That's pretty cool.
Nicholas said, Permasloth champion is slowed an increasing amount based on movement. At zero, the game's brightness is set to 10%. The champion is stunned for 12 hours and is slow as the slowest reset. Champion grows in size plus 1 a second. That's funny. And then Justin said, passive is pit stop every 5 minutes. You have to take a dump after recalling to base, where while pit stop needed is active, you become rejuvenated. While rejuvenated, your movement speed is increased by 50%. Your cooldowns are reduced by 50%. All your attack speed and defensive stats are increased by 20%, and your abilities receive 50% bonus damage for 2 minutes. 1 minute before pit stop, you become fatigued. While fatigued, your movement speed is reduced by 50%. Your cooldowns are increased by 50%, and all attack and defensive stats are decreased by 20%. Your abilities receive 50% damage for 1 minute. Is that OP or underpowered? I can't tell.
I don't know either. That's hard.
It's probably overpowered.
Probably.
It's hard to say because it's like, what, 4 minutes of active, then 1 minute of downtime, that then it makes you base at five, like every 5 minutes. Like,
yeah.
It's insane for those 4 minutes, and then it's terrible for the 1 minute, and it makes you have to back. I think so too. It's probably overpowered though, yeah. Because you probably just demo people for those times, like that.
And you just play around it, right? Where you're just like, hey, I'm gonna be like fatigued in the next minute, like jungler, just duo lane with me.
It's kind of like Gnar, like you have to play around his mega, yeah. That's
fair. Except for now, your ulti is just 8 times better.
Yeah. Armus from our Discord said, passive gluttony. Armus eats food every 10 minutes. Armus is afflicted with the eating status. They gain greatly increased health and mana regen, but can't cast abilities for a short time. Depends on how long that lasts, but it could be good, it could be bad.
Yeah.
Little Barnabas said, name shuffle. Every 2 minutes, all your abilities switch keys. You have an excuse when you hit the wrong button. That's funny. And then Lacona said, passive is confusion. Lacona is confused, having 2 to 20% based on level chance of moving the wrong directions with every movement command. Lacona also has 2 to 20% chance to forget every spell he casts, causing no mana expenditure.
Okay, huh. I like that.
I do like that. It makes you probably click less. You don't like just spam click to get places.
More precise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's funny. Cool. Anyways, once again, you can go talk about our League Pill question on Twitter, on Facebook, or in our Discord, leaguecastpodcast.com/discord. Cool.
Pog. I suppose it takes us into mail fight.
It sure does.
Our first email is from Gavin. Wukong clone bugs? Hey, LeagueCast, it's me, Gavin, back with my third email. I was hoping I could get your opinions on some interactions with Wukong clone I don't think should be there. For instance, Wukong clone doesn't stack Conqueror on autos, but if an enemy kills my clone with Duskblade, it'll proc the invisibility passive for killing a champion. Also, Cho'gath can ult my clone and it gives him a feast stack, as well as if Darius ults my clone, it gives him max stacks even though the clone, even if the clone doesn't die. I don't know, might just be a salty one trick, but what are you guys' thoughts? Also, a little question on the side. What champ do you guys think of when I say press R champ? For me, it's Malzahar, such a boring champion in my opinion. Anyway, sorry for the abnormally sized electronic message, and thanks for helping me get through the workday. Gavin, the salty hard stuck one trick. Gavin, we have no fucking clue why some of the Wukong stuff works that way.
I would say, at least for like my opinion, I have no idea why it works that way. I, in my mind, wouldn't think that the clone would stack Conqueror with its autos, but I would also not think that it procs Duskblade or that Cho'gath ult gets it a stack for killing a champion. Like, it should be a clone. Or like,
well, all right. So let's think about it. Does he mean the clone itself does not stack Conqueror, or the clone's autos do not stack Conqueror for him?
I don't know, because I don't know how it works.
I don't think it should be either, though.
I don't think it should be either all...
Either?
Yeah, I don't think it should be either. Yes, sorry, that was hard to think about.
As well.
Because it's... Conqueror reads, like, your abilities and spells, right? But at some point... Your abilities and autos, sorry. But at some point, it is your clone's abilities and autos that are hitting them, which shouldn't proc Conqueror because those aren't yours anymore. But Duskblade is just damaging a champion with your spells, which the clone at that point is still your spell, which would proc Duskblade because you interacted with an enemy champion. And then the Cho'Gath one probably shouldn't count. Yeah, it's classified as a champion, I'm sure. Yeah, the Darius one shouldn't be that.
Darius is super fucked. Cho'Gath, not so bad. But I know, like, chomping a Shaco clone, or at least I think so. Yeah, I might have to go back and find out. But I would, at the very least, if you haven't yet, like, submit a bug report about the Darius one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they probably know, but one trick figuring out weird shit about their characters is how bugs get fixed.
Yeah. Do you guys... So, specifically with... What, there was a Riven bug a couple years back where if you did a combo but recalled in the middle of it, you would just teleport back to base instantly, right?
Yeah.
And, like, that only happened because some Riven one trick tried it.
Yeah, it just happened when they tried to recreate it, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely check that out. As for your other question, press R champion. Yeah, Malzahar is probably, like, the biggest offender of that.
To meet Malzahar and Karthus.
Yeah. Karthus, I feel like with Karthus, you at least have to position properly when you die. But I think Malzahar, you literally can just press R on a champion.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, like, used to, like, mean, like, more what Colton's thinking, I think, in the old days. Because I remember, like, TSM in, like, season 2 and 3 were, like, known as, like, just running press R comps. And they used to always run Morgana or Karthus mid. That was, like, their core to it. And I definitely don't think of Morgana as a press R character anymore. I think her best ability is, like, her E. But she was definitely, like, known as a press part of the press R comp, you know what I mean? Because, like, they would just kind of play, like, very average to, like, okay all game, and then they would just get in a team fight, and everyone would just press R, and they would just win the fight, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Melzar is, like, different, though, because I do think he has... I think his kit is literally just his ultimate. That's where all of his power is from. But yeah. I also don't think you can just, like, do whatever and just press R in a fight. You have to, like... good picks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I honestly would probably put Malphite in the press R thing more
than... Oh, absolutely Malphite. What am I thinking?
You just click they die.
I mean, realistically, he has two abilities that he reliably has to hit on champions, right? It's his ulti and his E.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, his Q is a point and click that doesn't really do anything and is rarely going to matter. And then his W is an auto reset and extra damage plus a small cleave.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is you only really need your alt, but
it's just,
like,
really your R, yeah.
More versatile than Malzahar, because you can just kind of, you can use it in team fights, you can use it for picks, you can use it to get away.
Plus you don't stun yourself.
Yeah. But Malz is super annoying, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for the email, Gavin.
Thanks, Gavin.
Next one we got is from Elliot, and he's talking about some Xin Zhao mid. Says, hey, this message might be a bit long, but first, I found out that Rocket Belt on the Sandra is actually pretty good. I'm the one who writes in about the Sandra. I'm a Sandra main. This is definitely weaker, but I find that Rocket Belt helps a lot instead of Ludens or Liandry's. Anyway, I want to ask about Xin Zhao in lanes. I've been playing him mid for a few games after getting absolutely shit on by one. I have had mixed success, but I have been having a lot of fun with it, and it's actually not too bad. Do you think mid or top is better? And would a crit or lethality build work? Or should you stick to bruiser / on hit? If there are typos, it's because I'm on my phone and autocorrects. Thanks for everything you guys do on the podcast. Look forward to listening every week.
I think Rocket Belt is, like, pretty underrepresented as a mythic item right now. You get, like, what, 60% movement speed after the active towards enemy champions?
It's
crazy. It's going to be so good, like, once people figure out that it's good, I guess. I'm thinking of, like, yeah, Lissandra, Vladimir, Fizz, Echo, like, those sort of champions I think are going to be crazy once everything sort of settles. I am a huge fan. I am a massive fan of playing, like, unconventional champions, like, in different lanes, and I think specifically in the mid lane, it can be quite powerful. If you can get, like, a kill or two with Xin Zhao early in lane, the game's over. Like, there's no one who is going to be able to reliably fight you that early, and he comes online at level 2 basically, and not many mages are going to be able to survive his just pure damage. What do you guys think?
I would agree with that. I think that I think a full damage build probably wouldn't work. But you could definitely go like one hard damage item into like a bruiser setup where, like, if you went Hail of Blades, Xin Zhao, and like went Eclipse or Duskblade or something first item into like tanky, you could use that to snowball super hard early and then move into that bruiser role. I think he'd probably is going to be better top than mid, but
I think it's more cheesy mid, but yeah. It's probably like more reliable, yeah, top.
Yeah.
I agree
with the build that Colton gave out. Sweet. Thank you for the email. Next email is from Trent, who says, "Hey guys, do you know of any other strategies in League of Legends that have come from different game modes or games? I know the funnel strategy originates from Twisted Treeline. Also, I miss the old days of not having the role selector and just hoping for top of the lobby to get the role I wanted and typing mid pref when I got in. Just started listening a week ago. The podcast is great. Sorry my email wasn't long enough, Trent." Not that I'm aware of, unfortunately. I think it is a good thing for the game, probably, that these like wild strategies aren't too common. But I do miss that there are. I do wish that there were more, I suppose. I think it makes the game interesting, but I think if they're too good and too prevalent, that they would be kind of disgustingly. They're too strong at that point. So
yeah,
how do you guys feel about that?
I don't know of any other real strats that like originated from different games or different game modes, just because like game modes, there haven't been a whole lot that would have any potential to do that. And other games, I mean, like, sure, some things have come over from other MOBAs, but like, again, things are so specific to what works in League because of its own infrastructure. I would say I think that there's a decent argument you could make about like the 1v1 map that was in like season 3 or 4. And they did like the like tournament on it for like for fun. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember that? Was that season 3 or 4?
I think so. Like around there.
Yeah. And I think that kicked off some of the like play harder for lane choices that we've seen become a lot more prevalent. Obviously, like the introduction of biscuits and whatever the mastery for better potions is that you combined with like your corrupting pot. But to me, that kind of, I think that based in like that particular like time period of like just play for best possible lane.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll get you other advantages.
I mean, that's sort of why, like, the whole thought process behind Renekton as a pick, right? And at least in competitive, is that you're guaranteeing a solid laning phase for the most part at the cost of a stronger late game. Yeah. So, yeah, awesome. Thanks, Trent.
Okay. Next one here we have is from Dippy. Subject: Willump and Nunu. Both of them. I've been playing a lot of jungle lately, and it's really fun with lots of options on how you impact the game in the first 15 minutes. I'm mostly getting the hang of it, but no matter what I do, I cannot outdo a Nunu player. His damage and sustain is enough to go at least toe-to-toe with every jungle so that his team can help with win the few fights he can't. His mobility is insane. I can't out macro him even on mobile characters like Talia. His objective control is too good with Chomp Smite. Counter jungling, objectives, ganking all feel like auto lose decisions because he will show up wherever I am and be better. Where do you gain advantage on a Nunu? Okay, so there's a lot. I mean, this question is really like, how do you jungle? Because I don't think it's that much different than, like, to play against a Nunu versus just how to jungle. But I'd say things to really be aware of if you're playing against a Nunu is that, like, you need to have vision and priority for objectives. Because if he's the one in there, like you're saying, he's going to get it more times than not. So you need to either have enough vision to be able to take a fight and like make that decide the dragon as opposed to a smite attempt, or be the one starting it so that you can just keep him out from being able to chomp smite. As for his early damage, like, I don't really agree. Like, he's got okay damage, but realistically, if you're fighting him in the jungle, he should never land his W on you. His Q is probably down from a camp, and so he's got basically just his E, which isn't great, mm-hmm. and he does pretty low base damage.
Mm-hmm.
His counter jungling is very fast, but and like easy because he can just walk up, steal like the big one, and leave. But again, like if he doesn't have his W up, he's not mobile at all, and is pretty easy to just run down and kill. I would say, you know, make sure you're trying to keep pace with him if he's power clearing, and then like you definitely can take a little bit of advantage of him and kill him in his own jungle. Aside from that, his counter ganks are insane. So I would, if you don't 100% know that Nunu's not there, it's going to be a pretty big ask to try and go for a gank. Because if he does show up, he's probably going to win that every time.
Yeah, definitely agree. I feel like you want to try to fight him early and often. But... Wait, what? Oh, fuck you, Aiden.
Hello?
sorry. Yeah, fight him early and often. Try to counter gank, I guess, any of his ganks. Once he has snowballed down, his fighting potential really becomes hampered a lot, like Colton was saying. His chomp is quite good, but it's not going to win. It's not going to win a team fight unless he's going like a bunch of damage. Otherwise, like just try to clear as much as you can. His clear is like it's good, but it's not fast. His full clear potential is not as fast as other champions. So you can try to outfarm him like that and scale harder than he does. I think that's it for me, I guess. Pog. And that brings us to the end of the episode. Sorry it was a bit short this week. Didn't have a lot of content to cover, but we will be back at it next week. Thank you for listening. Check us out on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Mail at LeagueCastPodcast.com is where you can send in emails. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket is where Colton streams. Patreon.com/LeagueCast is where you can support us financially. Our website is LeagueCastPodcast.com. And finally, check out our Discord, LeagueCastPodcast.com/Discord. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.